Good afternoon. This is the conference call operator. After a short presentation from LVMH and Bulgari, the Q&A session will be open. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Bulgari and LVMH. Please go ahead.
Welcome, and thank you for joining the Bulgari-LVMH conference call. I am Renata Casaro, Head of IR at Bulgari, and joining me here today is Mr. Francesco Trapani, CEO of the Bulgari Group.
From LVMH, I am Chris Hollis, Director of Financial Communications. Joining me here today are Tony Bordoni, the Managing Director of LVMH, and Jean-Jacques Guillany, the Chief Financial Officer. I'll pass it over to Tony.
Good afternoon. We would like to start framing the discussion for today, repeating some of the key concepts behind the agreement. As we have spelled out quite clearly this morning in the release, this is a strategic alliance between the Bulgari family and the LVMH group to constitute a key player which can contend for world leadership in watches and jewelry. The deal is executed through a contribution to LVMH of a controlling participation in Bulgari in exchange for minority participation for the Bulgari family into LVMH. Turning to page two, a recap of the main features of the deal. In detail, the Bulgari family will contribute their controlling stake, 152.5 million of Bulgari shares, in exchange for 16.5 million newly issued LVMH shares. The Bulgari family will then become the second-largest family shareholder of LVMH behind the Arnault family. LVMH will then launch a cash tender offer for the other outstanding shares at a price of €12.25 per each Bulgari share. Mr. Trapani will enter the board of directors of LVMH as a representative of the Bulgari family, together with a second representative. Again, for Mr. Trapani, he will head LVMH enlarged watches and jewelry division, now including also the Bulgari brand, and become member of the executive committee of the LVMH group. Some of the key milestones, though they remain indicative in terms of timing. The clearance of the antitrust is expected at the end of April 2011, assuming that the procedure stops at phase one. In that case, the closing of the share contribution would be expected at mid-May 2011. The launch of the cash tender offer would be expected again at the end of May 2011. The closing of the cash tender offer would be expected at the end of June. I would like now to pass over the word to Mr. Trapani.
Okay. Good afternoon to everybody. We are now on page three of our presentation, so we'll expand a bit on the transaction rationale. My vision was and is that the luxury market for the next 10 years will continue to grow. It's a very large market today already, and my vision is that it will continue to grow. It will become, in my opinion, progressively more competitive and progressively more dispersed in terms of geographical areas. We are adding already to the mature market a lot of new markets that are more and more promising, like Russia, China, the Middle East, Brazil, India. It's a very these big markets will become more competitive and more dispersed from a geographical point of view. In this context, in my opinion, to prosper, you need two ingredients. On one side, you need to have the know-how of luxury. So you have to be creative, innovative. You have to understand quality, attention to details, craftsmanship, the importance of history, service to the client, and so on. But the second ingredient, and in my opinion is becoming more and more important, is scale. So finance, but even more, a global, high-quality management structure. My family was not ready to sell the company, but was ready to change the profile of our entrepreneurial adventure. So from the control of everything considered relatively small business to the active participation to a much larger business platform. Now, LVMH, to be honest, is the perfect partner because no doubt they have know-how of the luxury. We shouldn't forget that in the last 20 years the company has performed a certain number of acquisitions, but then in addition to that it has developed with a great deal of success a lot of these brands. They certainly have the scale, no question about that, and they have the desire to join forces with us. So, the perfect partner. Now, the next step is that we'll have to study in detail Bulgari and the other six brands that belongs to the watch and jewelry division to understand exactly what to do. But for sure, we'll focus on sharing the best practices in all, I would say, product categories and all areas. I think that distribution is going to be an important area for optimization and further development. We'll study also the vertical integration, so to develop the synergies among the different brands. And purchasing is certainly another area where, especially when we talk about purchasing media, that is a key leverage to develop a brand, we'll certainly find a lot of synergies and then advantages. So this is synthetically we see the rationale of the transaction. Now, if we turn page to number four, just 2 words on the present situation of Bulgari. You know that you've seen that we have closed the year, the fourth quarter in terms of sales was successful. We were growing pretty rapidly, so the number of projects which I have expanded in the past a lot with you concerning the product, the service to the client, communication and so on are apparently bringing a lot of good results. We started the year very, very well. In the 2 months, January and February 2011, our total net revenues were up 25% at comparable exchange rates. If we look at the DOS sell-out, that especially this start of the year are the majority of our revenues, they were up 21%. And if we exclude high jewelry that, as you know, can be very volatile, the U.S. were up 26%. And if we look at the order book in the 2 months, we got more than double the orders of the 2 months of the preceding year. So all in all, we are joining forces with LVMH in a moment in which the company is performing very well. Okay, so now we can turn to page 5, and I give back the microphone to Mr. Belloni. So just some perspective on how transformational is this agreement for LVMH. I want to remind you that we are relatively young in the segment of watches and jewelry. We started about 10-11 years ago in one segment that is obviously extremely legitimate for the luxury sector. We started off with three major acquisitions that formed the basis for our development. You can see in the chart those were
around the turn of the century with Chaumet jewelry house from France and two notable houses from Switzerland in watches, Zenith and Tagoyer.
We added on a joint venture with the renowned De Beers company to build a jewelry retailing, obviously in high-end diamond company, that hit the ground starting 2003. We also added a very important acquisition with a new and emerging brand, Hublot, which is universally known for a very unique style, and in particular the Big Bang model. What I want to underline is also that across these years, there has been a lot of internal growth and development for this brand. Under the leadership of Philippe Pascal, our teams did an excellent job, and we built a portfolio and a presence around the world. At the same time, we cannot say that we had a leadership presence, and you know that at LVMH we do like to be leaders in the different sectors we compete in. So you see immediately that in combination with the extraordinary brand that is Bulgari, we are doubling the size of the watch and jewelry division for LVMH, but most importantly, we are adding one brand which has all of the features to strengthen our portfolio and make us a key player in the sector. Let me pass on the word to our CFO, Jean-Jacques Guillonnet.
Thank you, Sonia. Well,
I ask you to turn on page 6,
where I will briefly highlight the financing and the main impact of the transaction, starting with the equity value for the transaction of 4.3 billion euro. This figure includes the full conversion of convertible and stock options, 1.9 million of which will be financed through the issuance of LVMH shares, so therefore about 44% of the total equity value, and 2.4 billion, i.e. 56% of the total, will be financed through available cash and new financial debt. When the majority shareholders exercise the option to buy 14.5 million shares on the market, the breakdown that I just mentioned will become 48% equity and 52% debt. This will have a limited impact on our LVMH debt profile. We had close to 2.7 billion in debt at the end of 2010, which will be increased by the amount that you've seen before. The net debt to EBITDA classical ratio pro forma for 2010 will be no higher than 1, and the pro forma net debt to equity will move from 15% at the end of 2010 to a pro forma of 25% as highlighted in the small chart below the text. Finally, the earnings per share dilution before synergies estimated on the basis of IBES consensus for 2011 will be around 1% based on the financial structure that was mentioned before. This is based on the funding of the cash portion of half cash utilization with an opportunity cost of 1.1% and half medium-term debt financing with a cost of 3.5%. I will turn back to Tony.
This is in fact the end of the joint presentation, and we will hand it over now to the operator for the Q&A.
This is the conference call operator. We will begin now the Q&A session. The first question is from Thomas Chauvet of Citigroup. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Three questions, please. The first one, could you, on your slide 3, please give us more details and possibly quantify the the magnitude of the expected synergies. I'm thinking in particular about purchasing and distribution, and which brands within the current watches and jewelry division you think are the most likely to benefit from the integration of Bulgari. Secondly, are you intending to discontinue any of the current activities of Bulgari? I think the product portfolio fits pretty well within your activities, but is there any product or activity you think of discontinuing? And thirdly, it's more technical questions on the tender offer. Will the Bulgari dividends paid to Bulgari shareholders this year, or is it included in the €12.25 per share? It's my first question on that. The second one, what happens to the holders of the convertible bond? And thirdly, is there any clause in the contract between the Bulgari family and LVMH that would allow basically the transaction not to happen other than antitrust approval? Thank you.
I would like to take the first two questions. The first question was about synergies, and I like to put that in the context of the model of LVMH, and one model that in fact has been highlighted by Mr. Trapani earlier on. Our model is that of nurturing the uniqueness, the differentiation, the unique culture and creativity of each brand. This is a very important premise. This said, it is obvious that there will be opportunities to gain from putting the businesses together. For example, there will be critical opportunities in being stronger in development. We do operate in retail, both at LVMH and at Bulgari, and Mr. Trapani highlighted as the development today takes us to very dispersed markets. Well, by operating together, we certainly will be more effective and gain in critical mass. There is one other area where working together will be of obvious evidence, that is the supply chain upstream integration, verticalization. We have projects underway at LVMH. Bulgari has projects already well advanced in this area. We will work together to see whether any synergy can be gained by approaching those activities. There certainly will be some cost opportunity. I will say that, you know, that is quite evident in the area of purchases. One that we often talk is the purchases of media, definitely one that we touch. We'll certainly look at our organizations around the world to see whether there is any opportunity for being more effective in some geographies. But the most important thing for me is really the synergy of sharing knowledge. Both Bulgari and our watch and jewelry teams will have important experience and expertise to bring to the table, and I'm sure that in that area there will be a lot of gain. That was the first question. To the second question of do you intend to discontinue any of the activities, our answer is certainly not. What about the third question? Jean-Jacques, do you want to take it?
Well, the third question is on the dividend of Bulgari, and I can just specify that the 12.25 is ex-dividend. Actually, it will be paid after the Bulgari shares go ex-dividend.
On the following question concerning the holder of convertible, well, the holder of convertible can always convert. Of course, in this particular case, the advantage would be to wait and convert after the closing, because then the change of control clause will be applied, and then the bondholder will pay less than the 4.95 euros. And then after that, of course, they can sell the shares to LVMH during the tender offer. On the last question concerning the exit clause, there is no exit clause between Bulgari and LVMH. It's a final agreement that is unconditioned.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from David Abraham of BTIG. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have three quick questions. You just briefly touched on the agreement between the Bulgarian and Trapani families and LVMH, but I just wanted to know if whether or not the agreement is binding in the event of a higher offer. My second question is, which competition clearances, besides presumably the European Commission, will you be seeking? And finally, could you give us a little bit of clarity on the timing of the dividend payments? Right now, Bloomberg's expecting a payment or ex-div on the 20th and I think 24th of May, while the press release says that you're looking to effectively launch the share swap after the stocks go ex-div. So if you can just give us some timing there, please.
As Francesco said, the deal we have between LVMH and the Bulgari family is binding and remains binding in the unlikely case of a higher bid. Beyond European authorities will do the work to figure out where we should go and obtain clearance. For the time being, it's a bit premature to comment on that, but we don't expect major obstacles in this particular field.
And as far as the date of dividend for Bulgari is concerned, I am checking. We don't have a precise date up to now, but normally it's paid around the 20th of May. The specific date will be provided, I think, next Friday, am I correct? Yeah, after the board of directors. But normally it's between the 15th and 25th of May.
Okay, and the share swap would then commence thereafter.
Sorry?
The share swap would commence after the payment of the dividend.
If you refer to our share swap, we have already executed it this morning, and we have already purchased up to almost 14 million shares. So this has been done already.
Okay. Great.
So the family today has more than 152 million shares. Has a percentage that is probably over 54%. So this is the situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Antoine Belge of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Antoine Belge, HSBC. First question, I mean, can you clarify if Mr. Trapani will remain CEO of Bulgari, or if a new CEO will be named now that Mr. Trapani is in fact having enlarged role within LVMH, and also if that could lead to some changes in terms of the strategy. Second question, I mean, you on the previous question regarding synergies, you've mentioned relatively obvious synergies, but previous deals have shown that it's usually those synergies do not generate more than 5% in terms of cost. Is it possible maybe to be more specific into what could be done that would be different from what has been done in previous deals in the luxury industry, also in terms of purchases, given that is especially in watches, Bulgari was also quite dependent on the Swatch Group, what could be done there? And finally, a question on Christian Dior. Jean-Jacques, maybe can you tell us if the Group Arnault Financière Gage Group will be diluted by this operation, or if there is an intention to keep the stake as it was before?
Let me take the first question and maybe the second as well. Mr. Trapani will certainly remain the CEO in the short term because we have an important transition. It will be an opportunity for entering a more complete discussion, but obviously in the context of the larger responsibilities that he will have to take, it will be important that we have a new leader in place. You asked a sub-question also for changes in strategy. It's obviously very premature. We'll have to learn the business, listen to what has been done, and, you know, you don't change strategies overnight. It's something that we will have the time to discuss, particularly in the context of the fact that the recovery is very well underway and the trading that has been presented indicates that things are really good. On the synergies, it's a third question on the same subject. We have a little bit of hard time to repeat that in the context of what we said, we see, most importantly, synergies in development, in, you know, expanding all over the world, building the brand and making it stronger for the future, which is in the interest of the Bulgari family and definitely the strategy and the interest of LVMH. For what concerns the cost, I really don't have a figure to give you. You know, I could have a figure to give you for what concerns the media, but everything else I think will need to be looked at. You are right, we mentioned, both Francesco and myself, the fact that the upstream integration of watches will be a very important project. I think that we all see that this is a delicate and strategic area for the years to come, and we'll have to see whether there is a smarter approach now that we are together.
Maybe I can add something concerning the dependence on Swatch Group. You know that for sure Swatch Group is a very important partner for us. It was the case in the past, and I'm sure that it will continue to be in the future. I want to only underline the fact that also on the basis of the agreements that we had with the Swatch Group, we have invested in the recent years in the production of movements. We have presented last year our first basic automatic movement that will be start, we will start shipping this year, and we are equipped little by little to grow in this area. We might find even synergies here with the other brands of the VMH group. So I think that little by little the dependence from Swatch Group will go down.
Okay, maybe just a follow-up on De Beers, because can you remind us if when the joint venture agreement was signed with De Beers, if there was anything mentioned that that could limit you to acquire a jewelry brand, or if something would be a change in the joint venture agreement because of today's announcement?
No, there wouldn't be Antoine, any change on that front. And finally, to answer your question on the Christian Dior / Financière Agache dilution, we will issue about 3.3% of new shares, so that will be the dilution that will apply to the 47% combined shareholding of Groupe Arnault and Christian Dior, which means that their combined holding will go down by about 1.6-1.7%.
Thank you.
Next question is from Marc Guillaume of Raymond James. Please go ahead, sir. Marc Guillaume, your line is open.
Let's take next question, please.
Next question is from Lee Dunlop of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. With the, just in regards to the dividend to be announced, I believe, on the 11th of March when the results come out, do you have a dividend policy in terms of how much gets paid out of net income? I was just trying to gauge whether, you know, the 8p estimate is roughly within range, or it's purely discretionary on announcement.
No, we will, in this particular case, we don't have any particular policy to be followed, so I think we have to wait until Friday in order to know what's going to be the payout this year. Thank you.
If LVMH manages to acquire its stake prior to the meeting to approve the dividend, have they committed to vote for the dividend?
If we are shareholders at the time of the annual general meeting, we are committed to vote the dividend. I mean, we have accepted a certain level of dividend, so we will vote it.
Can you disclose that level?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question is from Julian Lim of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Julian Lim from Nomura, your line is open.
Hi. Yeah, I have a couple of questions, technical questions on the convertible bond. Firstly, can you clarify that the sale of the Bulgari family shares to LVMH will constitute a change of control under the 2014 convertible? That's the first question. And the second question is regarding the dividend. Will the dividend also result in a change in the conversion price on that same convertible?
Okay, and the answer are both yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
The next question is from Brian D'Ambrosio of Saturn Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Is there a minimum condition for the minority shareholders of Bulgari? Or how does that work?
Yes, it works, but can you possibly repeat it?
Is there a minority condition in terms of the amount of shares that you need to accept for the non-family shares?
No, they are not. I mean, we are acquiring a majority first and extending paying out the market at 12.25 without any conditions.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Marc Guillaume of Raymond James. Please go ahead, sir. Or maybe you are on mute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Well,
I'm sorry. Two questions. The first one is on the brands, watch brand belonging to the Bulgari group, Gerald Genta and Daniel Roth. As of today, they were folding the Bulgari one. Have you any plan in order to set them on a standalone basis as they were in the past? My second question is, I know you've already mentioned the synergies, which are a bit difficult to assess, but could the Bulgari perfume operation be folded into LVMH perfume businesses rather than remaining within the Bulgari brand umbrella? Thank you.
Okay. For the first question, as you said, last year we have fully integrated Gerald Genta and Daniel Roth into Bulgari. So today what we have is one brand, and we have, of course, different collections. Daniel Roth and Gerald Genta today are, if you want, the name, two things, the name of two collections of the Bulgari brand and two centers of excellence where we develop and produce Grand Complication movements. On the second question, I think Mr. Belloni will expand.
Yes, I would again start with the fact that the most important thing for us is that we set up an organization of the business that privileges the integrity of the brand, and that the brand is the key dimension. So to respond to your question is, we will certainly look at how we are organized in fragrances in both businesses, and I am pretty sure that we will come up with some area, whether it's geographical, whether it's functional, where we can benefit from doing something together. But in general, we leave to the brand the decision to say, yes, we are ready to cooperate and, put our activities together with the existing structure, because we think it's beneficial in the end to the brand. So it's a work that is in front of us, but will we look at it? Yes.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Louise Singlehurst of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions to follow up from me, please. Firstly, just going back to the synergies, I realize limited in terms of numbers today, but can you just rank where you see most synergies coming from? Is it doubling the floor space of the Bulgari brand? Is it the expansion of the perfumes and cosmetics? And then secondly, trying to think about the operating margin of the broader watches and jewellery division at LVMH, you've got an operating margin of around 13% now. Do you see that Bulgari will be accretive to that going forward? And then lastly, just on the tax rate, obviously Bulgari has a favourable tax rate at the moment. Can you give us any colour on that going forward? Thank you.
Excuse me, could you repeat the third question
on the tax rate?
Okay. So let me take it again on the synergies. I think that what we said was that in terms of development, we definitely see retail development around the world as a critical area where we will be stronger by operating together. This is definitely a critical area for us. The second one we have mentioned and discussed is the integration in industrial development and supply chain upstream for watches. That is another one that is obvious. We have mentioned also, responding to a question, that in certain other areas, for example, the subsidiaries of perfume and cosmetics, the research for perfume and cosmetics, but also some geographical basis, you know, subsidiaries for watches and jewelry, we will have a look. So that is, you know, more responding to the area of cost on which there seems to be a lot of attention. But as Mr. Trapani said in the beginning, you know, putting together scale and extraordinary brands is really the best way to give stronger development to this brand in the modern world, one that takes us to new, far away, and more diverse markets. So that is the area where we expect the most in terms of synergies. I also think that there are other areas where, you know, I said before, knowledge sharing will be very important. Bulgari is developing a relatively young business in accessories. We have a lot of experience in that. I don't presume to say that, you know, we have a lot to bring, but I think that it will be very smart to discuss about that together. So is that measurable in cost terms? I doubt. I think that the real benefit will be in being sharper and building the top line and the market share of those businesses.
On the operating margin, it's a very tricky question. We have two sets of businesses who have a very strong momentum and accretion in operating margins on both sides, on the watches and jewelry, existing watches and jewelry business at LVMH and on the Bulgari side. So it's difficult to know which one will be better than the other, but at the end of the day, what we may expect is that the two will help each other. So we would really expect the combination to be beneficial in terms of operating margin, and that's the only thing that matters at the end of the day.
On the last question, concerning tax rate, as we said in the past, and this is still true today, our guidance was for a tax rate of around 20%, and this is, of course, as of today, confirmed.
Thank you. One very quick last one, please. Wholesale, is that going to be growing as a proportion of sales for Bulgari, or is it mainly retail distribution that you will focus on? Thank you.
But can you repeat the question?
Wholesale, will it be growing faster, or will we concentrate on retail?
Okay, according to our plan, we think that the equilibrium that we have today between DOS and wholesale, and within the wholesale between monobrand stores in franchise and the rest, is more or less appropriate. So I don't see, as a standalone company for the next 2 or 3 years, any big change.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Russo of Gardner Russo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. My question relates to the Bulgari family's comment that they had been on an entrepreneurial venture, and the merger increases the future prospects for the entrepreneurial venture. And I wonder, as a result, whether you considered any way of keeping a compensation system for the management that will relate just to the entrepreneurial endeavors under watch and jewelry and not to have to bear exposure to the entire breadth of the LVMH business when fashioning the rewards for the people in the watch and the carryover jewelry business. So it's really a question about the compensation and incentives going forward and how entrepreneurial those can remain.
Yeah, let me take that. Obviously, you know, this is something that we will have to discuss, but I think that we like to think at LVMH that the environment is very entrepreneurial for all of our management teams, and the compensation system is in fact mostly tied to the performance of the individual businesses, although there is a minor component that for the need of solidarity, you know, links them to the results of your corporation. But the large majority of the compensation is linked to the individual business unit and to the individual performance.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Jonathan Stanford of Arcus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have two questions. One is regarding antitrust. Do you see foresee any hurdles in the antitrust decision? And the second question is technical for the convertible bond. In terms of change of control price calculation, when exactly should we consider the change of control date to have actually taken effect? Would that be on announcement date today and board acceptance, or should we consider after the closing of the cash or the stock contribution in May? Thank you.
On the antitrust issue, I will just highlight the fact that in the tentative calendar that we have outlined on slide 2, we have just referred to a phase 1 review by the European authorities, so there wouldn't be any phase 2 in our anticipation, but obviously this remains to be discussed with the relevant authorities, but all in all, we don't expect major hurdles in the review of this transaction.
As far as the change of control clause for the convertible bond is concerned, let's say that the change of control starts, if you want, after the closing. So before we have to contribute our shares into a VMH, and then immediately after there is a change of control, so then you have all the benefits of the change of control clause.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Paul Hopper of Evolution Securities. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Two quick questions, please. First is a bit technical. On the offer price for minorities of $12.25, I'm just curious if that is absolutely fixed. The reason I'm asking that is because there's a potential scenario whereby come mid-May, when the share transaction completes, the value of that offer may end up being more than $12.25, or hypothetically could be. Now, if it was more than $12.25, would you need to make the cash offer for minorities whole, i.e. increase it? Because obviously you could have a situation where the Bulgari family end up having a higher price offered to them than the minorities. And the second question is, the shares bought today by Credit Suisse, will they be contributed for LVMH shares, or will they be subject to the cash offer? Thank you.
On both questions, the 12.25 will not change. Even if the LVMH price goes up, which we all hope it will, we end up having a higher value, there are also commitments taken by the Bulgari Travani families in terms of keeping a large chunk of their shares for a fairly long period of time. So this is not extendable to the minority shareholders, hence being a cash offer at a fixed 12.25 price. The Credit Suisse transaction will end up with LVMH, as explained on slide, LVMH issuing a little bit more shares for this, and as I outlined, shifting the equity debt proportion in a transaction from 44.56 to 48.52.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Libera Flaho of CMCIC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. I've got three questions. The first one is about breakup fee, because you said the final agreement could be terminated only if a higher bid was made. So I was wondering whether there is breakup fee in such a case. Then
I don't think I said that. Sorry. I don't think we said that. It's not true. I mean, there is neither any breakup fee nor any possibility that the deal will terminate. I think I made it clear that this is a binding transaction, just depending upon the decision of the antitrust authorities in Europe, and there is no exit clause whatsoever on both sides on this transaction. So it's a totally binding transaction.
Okay, and then my second question is on the timeline, because on the slide presentation we can see that you're planning for about 1 month acceptance period, but I was wondering whether under Italian law this acceptance period could be extended, and how short can it be, or how long can it be, please?
I don't think so, but it's a point we have to confirm. It's a pretty straightforward transaction from a regulation viewpoint, as it follows the contribution of a controlling stake to LVMH, but we would have to confirm that particular point.
Okay, great. And finally, my last question. You spoke in the press release about the potential delisting of Bulgari, and just for confirmation, you also anticipate a squeeze out if possible?
If possible, yes, but it remains to be seen whether the conditions for a squeeze out will be met at the end of the initial tender offer.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Davide Vimercati of UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Just two questions left. On slide 6 of the presentation, you talk about a total price of 4.3 billion. Can you please detail how you get to that price between outstanding shares, stock options, and shares coming from the equity link bond conversion? And secondly, in the same slide, you talk about 2011 EPS dilution of about 1%. Is that on a full-year basis or, let's say, assuming consolidation from the second half of the year? Thank you.
No, it's full-year basis for the 2011 dilution. For the 4.3, the number of shares is the following. It's existing 302 million. I'm rounding, but it's 302 million shares existing. The convertible would create 36 additional shares, and the stock option about 36 million additional shares, and the stock options would create 10 million additional shares. So that makes a total a bit in excess of 348, which you multiply by 1225, and you end up with the 4.3 billion, which is mentioned at the top of the slide.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Sofia Celeste of Dow Jones. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Mr. Daphne. I just wanted to clarify your comment about your family's decision, which sort of took us all by surprise. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on why exactly your family made this decision and if it was, in fact, generational.
Well, I think I explained this during my presentation before. I can summarize again. I mean, our view of the market is that in order to really create value, you are better off if instead, if you can combine the know-how, the luxury, with the scale. So between the two alternatives, we were looking, if you want, we were not ready to sell the company, but we were actually looking into the possibility of joining forces with a much larger group. So, LVMH, in our opinion, had all the characteristics needed because it's a big group. They have the scale. They know the luxury business. They share our philosophy, the long-term approach, the commitments. So we thought that it was an idea, a good idea, to join forces with them. We discussed, of course, the valuation of Bulgari. We found an interesting compromise, and then we decided to move on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Catherine Roland of Kepler Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to know if you could give us some color about the lock-up agreement signed by the Bulgari Tarpani shareholders, please.
Well, yeah, I don't remember now all the details, but let's say that we are going to be totally free. We are totally locked up for 6 months and totally free in 2 years from now. So between, let's say, month 6 and month 24, we are going to be free.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
The next question is from Julian Macleithwaite of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Well, we had just a very good question. It's just, have you talked to any of the parties before reaching an agreement with LVMH? I mean, have you received any interest from other competitors?
Okay, what I can answer you is that, you know, I've been CEO of Bulgari for 27 years. So basically, in these 27 years, I met, I would say, almost everybody that counts in the luxury business, and I have discussed different possibilities of whatever it is with all these people. But, you know, LVMH was still our, you know, the company we were looking at. So then we end up venturing to them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from John Duncanson of Dharma Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My question has actually been asked.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Saqib Mirza of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. And you mentioned that there are no conditions to the transaction, and actually that's aside from all antitrust and regulatory approvals. So can you just highlight which antitrust and other regulatory approvals are required, and is there any commitment to divest a watch brand if that's what the EC requires? I know you say that you don't expect it to get to that, but has there been any divestiture commitments made? And finally, just my third and last question is, could you just highlight what the mandatory takeover rules are, the mandatory offer rules in Italy? Thanks.
Okay, on the antitrust, obviously the main one is the European, as both companies are above the thresholds, so we'll go to the European competition authorities to clear them. There could be other ones, but frankly, it's a bit early to assess that. And as we said before, we don't expect major issues arriving from these reviews. So it's absolutely premature and probably useless to discuss divestitures and what would happen and when, if the case was being raised. On the mandatory rules in mandatory offer rules in Italy, I'm not so sure this call should be devoted to that. I mean, we are taking we LVMH are obtaining a controlling share in this company following the contribution by the Bulgari Tarpani family to LVMH. We have to launch a mandatory takeover at 12:25, as we said before, which is going to last about a month, and the clearing process with the Italian authorities in this particular case where a majority has been contributed to LVMH should be reasonably straightforward. So I think that's all we can outline at this stage.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Astrid Wendland of Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just have a quick question about you made this comment that you've met everybody in the luxury business and possibly others made offers to you. But I would like to know, what is the one or the two main arguments that the LVMH group gave you that were really decisive in making your decision and choosing them?
Well, I would say probably a couple of them. One is what I explained before. So the fact that we are together, it makes our business, Bulgari, probably growing faster. The second thing is that we wanted to remain as entrepreneur in the luxury business and not, you know, go to retirement and get cash. Now, when you are in this situation, of course, it's very important the quality of the paper that you get, not only if you want the evaluation of your companies, but also the quality of the paper that you get. In this particular case, we think that LVMH is a very high-quality paper, and what I personally like, because in addition to being in the future the head of watch and jewelry, of course I'm going to be an important investor, maybe not so much in percentage terms, but certainly in absolute terms. The family will have, you know, close to 2 billion euros invested, so it's very important we look at the quality of the paper. And what we like about LVMH is the fact that it's also a diversified company. So they are in a different domain. They try always to have a leadership position in this different domain. And this is going to be even the case in jewelry and watches, looking at the future. And this diversification probably should give more solidity and less volatility than in some other cases where the companies are more focused on a specific domain. So very, very strong there, but maybe more exposed to volatility. So the decision was a combination of different facts, our view of the market and the future evolution, and then the decision to join forces with other people, and then the quality of the LVMH paper means, of course, the attraction of the people and so on and so forth, and of course then the evaluation that we have obtained for our shares.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Leopold Dotti from Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Leopold Autier from Exane BNP Paribas. Three quick questions. First one, I'm not sure I understood basically. Is the accessories and perfumes within Bulgari going to be reported as accessories and perfumes within LVMH or within Bulgari in the watch and jewelry division of LVMH? This is my first question. The second one, can we have an idea on Rocher Dilution? Christian, for the deal, if you have calculated that. And thirdly, do we know yet what is going to be the new role of Mr. Pascal within LVMH? Thank you.
Well, on the reporting of accessories and perfumes, I assume financial reporting, the decision has been taken yet, but it's not particularly difficult to take a decision on this, so we'll announce that in due course. But the key issue was highlighted before, I guess, on this topic. The second question, I missed it. I'm sorry.
The dilution in Roche terms, return on capital employed. Maybe I don't know if you have the number.
No, I haven't made any calculation at this stage. So I will have to come back to you on this.
Right.
Could you repeat the third question, please?
And the third question is that do we know yet what the new role of Mr. Pascal is going to be within LVMH?
We don't know yet, in the sense that you cannot know yet. Philippe Pascal has done an excellent job through the years in different divisions. He is a very valued resource. And as we said, he will certainly oversee the transition and work with Mr. Trapani for the next few months.
and we have excellent assignment for him for the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Judy Delgado of Alpine Associates. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Most of our questions have been answered, but I'm wondering if the companies can detail just the process after the share contribution is closed. Do they intend to immediately file for CONSOB approval and then launch the tender for shareholders?
Yes, this is the intention.
Okay, so that process may take about 2 to 3 weeks?
That's what we outlined in the small schedule, yes.
So is it possible that schedule can be delayed for some reason with the filing?
Well, it's always possible, but we don't anticipate it.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Joao Freitas of HBK. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. May I ask you, have you considered the possibility of offering a share offer option to minority shareholders, same as you offer to the family?
Well, from LVMH viewpoint, it was conceivable. The Italian regulation, I think there are not so many precedents of identical situation on the Italian stock market, and I don't think it is really allowed by the Italian regulation. So the answer in a nutshell is no, we didn't consider that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giuliano Balestreri of Repubblica. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have a quick question for Mr. Trapani. I wonder if you have ever considered to join an other Italian firm to create a luxury pole, or if LVMH was the only option on this side. And then I have a second question for LVMH. Can you please confirm the interest in joining an operation to buy La Vina Scente? Thank you.
On the first question, to be honest, my dream was to be able to organize a much larger group with Italian roots. So it's not a secret that I have spoken with the majority of the entrepreneur, Italian entrepreneur, that are in the luxury business.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, all these people were basically not open to a situation in which they were basically losing the full control of their operation. So the Italians, as you know, are very jealous of these companies. They prefer maybe to lose opportunities to see the company growing less, but keep full control instead of joining forces with large groups. So I tried for years to convince them that we had to do something, because my view was that in this business it's becoming more and more important to have, of course, you know, creativity, innovation, history, attention to details, attention to the clients, and so on and so forth, but also a more industrial approach where scale is important. But I was not able to convince them. So I had to start looking around the world, and then the end of the history is here now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And on your second question, we'd rather limit the questions to the Bulgari LVMH combination today. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Brule Devahan of Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Emmanuel Brule Devahan, Société Générale. I've got three questions. The first one, correct me if I'm... Do you hear me?
Yes,
you are.
Now, but you were cut. So if you could start again on your first question, please, Emmanuel.
Yes. So good afternoon, Emmanuel Brulé de Varane, Société Générale. My first question, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's that the first time ever that LVMH is agreeing to do a share swap to make an acquisition. Is it something you would be ready to consider to convince other family shareholders for future targets? That's my first question. And secondly, following the slight dilution of control from the group Arnault on LVMH, does the group plan in the near future to buy back shares or even to implement an official share buyback program to offset this slight dilution? And my third question would be to know how would rank the Bulgari brand within LVMH portfolio in terms of importance. I mean, how many billionaire brands do you have? Because I think now Bulgari brand will belong to those ones. Just to have an idea of the ranking of the Bulgari brand within the LVMH portfolio. Thanks.
Okay, on the share deal, yes, it's the first. It's the first time we do it in our 20 years plus history. It's also the largest transaction, the largest acquisition that we've ever done. So I don't think you should view this as a precedent for any other transaction that you might have in mind. Nevertheless, I would highlight the fact that in the past, Christian Dior made a similar type of transaction with Guerlain. They issued shares to the Guerlain family, who, to a certain part, still own them. So it's not a new type of structure for the LVMH Group Arnault group as such. As far as the share buyback is concerned, it's not something that we can discuss today. We'll see in the future, in the next few months, how we want to address this this question. And as far as the ranking of Bulgari is concerned within the group, I would say that it would rank, I have to check, but in the top five in terms of...
around 5 or 6.
5 or 6 in terms of revenues.
And thank you very much.
We have the ambition of being among the top 5 for revenue and for margin in the future.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Henri Dumani of Natixis. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Just a quick question. Do you know if you have to notify with Chinese competition authorities?
No, we don't. It's part of the things we have to check over the next couple of days.
Okay, and if so, do you think it can have any impact on your timing regarding the transaction and the closing of the share swap?
Well, not knowing whether we have to file or not, it's hard to say whether it will have or not any impact on the transaction. So we'll have to answer to that later on.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Patrick Hughes of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just on your comment on the funding, you say half the cash funding will be taken from bank cash resources and the other half from debt at a rate of 3.5%. Can you tell me, is that debt at 3.5% existing facilities or will you be tapping the capital markets?
No, it will be in the capital markets. I'm talking about medium to long-term, let's say, bonds that might be issued in the next few months once we have completed the transaction.
A medium to long-term is what, 7 to 10 years?
5 to 7, let's say. 5 to 7.
5 to 10. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, and secondly, have you spoken to S&P with regard to this transaction?
We have.
You have, okay. That's
cool. And they listen.
Thank you very much indeed.
The next question is from Jonathan Murray of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Can you explain why the change control period for the convertible bond doesn't start until mid-May post the share contribution closing, please? I mean, to many people, the bond documentation suggests that it should have already been triggered, but clearly this isn't the case, so kind of any clarity that you could provide would be much appreciated. Thanks.
Well, you know, in order to have the change of control clause working, you need to have a change of control. And the change of control will occur sometime in May before it's only an intention. But then, once we have contributed the shares into a BMH, then we have a change of control, so the change of control clause will start.
take it. I mean, our reading was more the case that it's under the documentation, it says that an offer needs to be made, and that the board of directors has to express an opinion which is favourable in respect to the offer. So is it that second part that isn't satisfied at the moment until the share contribution has been made?
I don't think we want to go into the details of this discussion. I mean, as I said, from what we understand and the paper we have, the change of control will occur on the contribution. But I have the lawyer here that can answer you.
The change of control will occur when the ownership of more than 50% or as much shares as it takes to appoint the majority of the board of directors occurs. So when the contribution will be made, all of the shares owned by the Boulay family today will change hands, and that's the moment in which the majority of the ownership of Bulgari will pass and the change of control will occur.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Thank you.
The next question is from Natasha Wong of United First Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, this is Stefan Mardell from United First Partners. Is there a MAC associated to the share contribution agreement?
No, there is no. No, no.
And in a mandatory offer, there won't be any MAC, right? There's no conditions associated to the mandatory offer.
But the mandatory offer is a pure consequence under Italian law of the change of control and of the fact that the majority shareholding in Bulgari has been transferred to 12VMH. So there can't be, your rights, there can't be any conditions whatsoever associated with the offer.
Thank you.
There are no more questions. Mr. Belloni, Mr. Trapani, over to you for the key messages.
Okay, thank you very much, first of all, for your attention and the questions. We would like to conclude the conference call outlining our mutual confidence in the merits of this transaction. Let me say two things that are really important from an LVMH point of view. This is a unique opportunity to reinforce our presence in the segment of watches and jewelry, where we become a key player and a contender for leadership. Second, it's extraordinary for us to join forces with this brand, which is a family brand, which has a lot of characteristics, starting with unique heritage and the values, and very importantly, a skilled management team that makes us a stronger group. From a Bulgari point of view, we have found in LVMH a group with similar values, exceptional craftsmanship, creativity, and long-term vision and commitment, with a dedication to its individual brands. This will permit the acceleration of the development of the Bulgari brand, and I am, of course, honored to continue to play a role in this journey.
Dear shareholders, dear bondholders, dear journalists, thank you for your attention. The recording of this conference call will be updated on the Bulgari and LVMH IR websites later on tonight. Good night.